Okay, it's Monday. It has been a relaxed time for so many of us. This is the first day back to reality for a lot of us. It's going to be a full week, but I'm telling you, Friday's going to be here before you even know it. So just relax. Enjoy this Monday afternoon. It's cool. It's nice. It's a day of living life, and don't be bummed out that it's Monday. And I know many of you are kind of happy the kids are getting back to school because it's a little stressful, especially for those of you who work, especially mothers and fathers who both have jobs. It's tough to deal with the kids when there's a big holiday break. So I know many of you are glad the kids are back in school, and I hope that they're happy to get back and hang out and be with their friends. It's a new year, 2026. With every new year comes the promise of things to come, things that might be better than the previous year. Last year was a really ugly year in many ways. It was a good year in many ways. Are you optimistic or pessimistic about America in the new year? And what do you think should be a New Year's resolution for America in 2026? What should be a New Year's resolution for America in this year? How about we start acting like Americans first, and Republicans or Democrats second, or even third? How about we start thinking that we're Americans first and that that is the priority, and we stop allowing the politicians to divide us? You know, the politicians try to divide us. The media gains by the divide because it's compelling, because it's conflict. It's one side against the other. And so the media benefits from this conflict, but we allow it to happen. And we could do a better job of rejecting the divide. We, as Americans, could do a better job of thinking of ourselves as Americans first. And if we do, ultimately, that is going to resonate with the politicians and with the media, because the politicians and the media reflect us. And if we change, I guarantee you, they're going to change. Because they changed when we decided we wanted the divide. When we decided, no, you're wrong and I'm right. And when that became a spectator sport, the politicians and the media responded. So we do have that power. What do you think would be a good New Year's resolution for America in 2026 is one thing we could talk about. Also, the Saints wrapped up the season yesterday with a loss to the Falcons. You know, there were some good things that happened in that game. You know, I'm not bummed out about that really at all. I don't think that was a big deal. Before that, the Saints won four in a row. I'll tell you, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to rate my excitement going into the next season with Kellen Moore and Tyler Shough as a 7.5. On a scale of 1 to 10, 7.5, maybe 8, but I'll say 7.5. I'm really optimistic about next season. So you know what? I'm going to make it an 8. I'm going to make, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to make it an 8. Now, there are people who are just intrinsically negative. They look for reasons to be negative, and they're just negative about everything. So there are going to be people that are going to give the Saints a 1 or a 2. I mean, that's just something that happens. But on a scale of 1 to 10, rate your excitement about the Saints going into next season with Kellen Moore and with Tyler Shough, who, as you've heard, has been named as one of the offensive players who might be Rookie of the Year. And he didn't even play all season. He played about half of the season. And I thought he was impressive enough to where he could be the quarterback of the future. And there have been people on the national platform that have said really great things about him. And he does show a lot of poise in and out of the pocket. So I kind of feel good about that. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. We'll get to more of your text here in just a moment. So last night's game between the Ravens and the Steelers was epic. I mean, just incredible. And I can't believe that so many place kickers are missing extra points and missing easy field goals. And we saw it happen with Groupe. We changed field goal kickers in the middle of the season here with the Saints in New Orleans. And it seems like some of these kickers just, they don't know how to deal with pressure. You know, if you absolutely have to do something, you have to get it right, and you're human, there's always the possibility of failure. Look at how many times the Pelicans fail at the free throw line toward the end of the game when every one of those points counts. They make those free throws all the time in practice. But when they're under pressure, they choke. They miss the free throw. Or the place kickers miss the field goals. And maybe there's not enough that's being done to teach, especially young players, to deal with the pressure of a must kick. And last night in the Sunday night game, that extra point for the Steelers was a must extra point because it would make it a 3-point lead instead of a 2-point lead. A 2-point lead meant that the Ravens just had to come down and score a field goal and win. And Lamar Jackson put them in a position to win. But what happened? The field goal kicker missed a chip shot. He couldn't deal with the pressure. So maybe more needs to be done to teach these players, especially the young ones, to deal with pressure. And it's also a good opportunity for you to think about your job and your career and what you do and how you deal with pressure. And when you absolutely have to get it right, when you have to do something and you have to get it right, do you sometimes choke? I mean, we're all human. We're all fallible. So, it's something that, we all need to work on that. I mean, if you're a human being, you need to work on how do you deal with the pressure situations. And these place kickers really around the league seem to be having a difficult time with it. So, look, I'm loving the playoffs. The NFL, I'd love it more if the Saints were in the playoffs, but they're not. The NFL wildcard playoffs start this weekend. Saturday afternoon at 3:30, the Rams against the Panthers in Carolina. I mean, who wins that game? Didn't the Panthers beat the Rams a couple of weeks ago? I don't know if the Panthers can beat the Rams twice, even if the game is in Carolina. Saturday at 7 p.m., the Packers and the Bears in Chicago. That's a tough one to pick. Sunday at noon, the Buffalo Bills, the Jacksonville Jags in Jacksonville. I don't think the Bills can do it. As talented as they are with individual players, as talented as Josh Allen is, I don't think the Bills can beat the Jags right now. And Trevor Lawrence and the Jags are just having an incredible season. So I think the Jacksonville Jags win that game. But I think it's going to be a good game. Sunday at 3:30, the 49ers against the Eagles, and I think that game's in Philadelphia. That's a tough one to pick because you can't ever count the Eagles out, but the 49ers are playing really good football. And then Sunday night at 7 o'clock, it's the L.A. Chargers in New England against the Patriots. The Patriots have been killing it, and the Chargers have been up and down. And then Monday night at 7:15, the final wild card game of the wild card weekend coming up, the Houston Texans in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. As much as I would like to see things continue for Aaron Rodgers, even though I don't really like him as a person, I think he's an incredible football player. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be able to perform with the Texans defense. And somebody was asking, I think it was the Texans, about why their defense is so good. And they were talking about how they have learned, they have been taught to grab the legs and close the arms. There are so many body tackles in the NFL today that so many running backs and so many receivers in yards after the catch, the defensive players try to knock them down by just, bumping into their bodies. You know, that's the easy way to do it, but that's not the sure way to bring them down. I mean, you've got to go for the legs and grab your arms, but, that's ugly. I mean, that's not easy to do that. But that's the way you tackle people. That's the way I learned to tackle. That's the way you tackle. But these players sometimes they're a little on the soft side, and so there's a lot of body bumping instead of actual tackling. But the Houston Texans have one hell of a defense. I think the Texans beat the Steelers. But we'll talk more about this during the week. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oak and Hart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Here's a text message that says, did Scoot hear the mayor-elect Helena Moreno on the air earlier saying she will not be having an inaugural ball? Bummer for Scoot. Are you okay?
No, I'm not. I was going to be invited to that.
I mean, that's...
She said she was going to invite you. She said she would invite me.
Well, she decided not to have a ball because she knew she would have to invite you. And she's like, well, if I have to invite Scoot, I'm just not going to do the whole thing.
Well, I mean, is that the reason or is it too expensive? No, it's probably that she didn't want to have to invite me.
I'm sure that it's because... she felt obligated to invite you, but didn't actually want you to be there, so she just spiked the whole thing.
So the excuse is, we'll say it's about money.
Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, man, we're all going to the movies on Saturday. Talking to somebody you don't really want to hang out with.
Like,
I'll come to the movies, too. And like, you know what, man, we're going to go on Monday when you can't go.
No, I was going to get an invite. She told me she was going to invite me. but honestly, I, even though I'm not going to get to go because there's not going to be one, I respect her for not having one. And that is exactly the opposite of what LaToya Cantrell would do. And so if you can do the opposite of what Cantrell would do, I'm going to respect that. And even though I'm getting robbed of going to the inaugural ball, dressing up, having a fun night, I think it's the smart thing to do because the city doesn't have the money. And I'm sure they could find private investors to come up with the money to support an inaugural ball to pay for it.
Yeah.
But maybe. I guess ultimately the city would have to, you know, maybe pay something for it. So I'm kind of disappointed that maybe there's not going to be one because private investors could probably fund the whole thing.
I think inaugural balls are almost always paid for by private donors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the excuse has to be she just didn't want to invite me.
It's got
to
be it.
That's got to be the reason.
Well, she's going to, she was on with Newell this morning. Maybe we can get her to come on here someday soon and talk to you and get that cleared up.
Yeah. All right.
Meanwhile, here's a text from Bullfrog out in Killian, Louisiana. Bullfrog says, Denver and Seattle in the Super Bowl. Sean Payton wins his second 27-24.
The two teams that I am really pulling for this season are the Seattle Seahawks and the Jacksonville Jags.
The
and
I know Jags? They're
both AFC teams, right? So I would have
to
pick.
Yeah, Jags are AFC.
Either one of those teams getting there, I would be happy with that. As far as an NFC team, I love the comeback of the New England Patriots. Maybe the 49ers. I mean, I like the 49ers. The Rams are incredible. I don't know. I haven't figured out which my favorite NFC team is, but I like the Jags. I like what they're doing. I've always liked Trevor Lawrence. I thought he was a really good quarterback. But again, remember, it took Trevor Lawrence several years to get in the groove. And Tyler Shuck seems to be more advanced than Trevor Lawrence was at this point in his career.
I don't know what's going to happen in the Super Bowl, but I would love to see Denver in it. They've been a lot of fun to watch this year. And I mean, they found, especially like the first half, man, they found a way to win some games that looked pretty damn unwinnable. And those were fun to watch. Now, I was talking to my old man about this because he's still out in Colorado.
Your old man?
My old man.
I mean, see, that's like boomer talk. I should be saying that, not you.
Well, what should I say? Talking to my father?
Your dad?
My dad?
Your father? Yeah, I was talking to my dad about this. My old man. That's boomer stuff.
You and your old man. so is your old man.
You know, here's something else that's boomer, too. Yeah, me and my old lady, man. You know, we went to the swamp room after the game. Yeah, me and my old lady.
All right, Cheech. Anyway, I was talking to my dad, and I said, what is it? What is it, Dad? Because, you know, he's got Peyton, they got Will Lutz, they got a couple of the other. I think they have Clint Kubiak, too, don't they? Or did he go somewhere else?
No, Kubiak is with the Seahawks.
Okay, that's right. Yes. Okay, good. I got those wires crossed. But anyway, they got a bunch of former Saints people, and I was talking to him. I said, you know, how do you think they did it? What's your take as a Broncos fan? And he says to me, well, you know about the salary cap? I said, yeah. He says, well, one thing that doesn't get talked about very much is that there is no staff cap. And maybe I'm just not in on the right conversations, but I've been working at WWL for 20 years, and I've never heard anybody talk about the fact that there is no limit to the amount of money that ownership can spend on staff.
Well, wait.
So Gail Benson, who's worth $8 billion, you know, seems like she could spend as much money as she wants on the team. The Walton family that owns the Broncos are worth $280 billion. So they are just opening up the money hose so they get all the best staff. There's no limit to the number of people they can hire, physicians, consultants, coaches, trainers, masseuses, you know, whatever they need over there. They're just washing the Broncos in such a ridiculous amount of money that it lifts up the performance of the team.
Well, I get that. I know you're busy in the other room sometimes, but I have talked about this on the show, that there's, whether it's the Pelicans or the Saints, that the amount that you pay for coaches and people like that, that's not something that goes against the salary cap. So we have actually discussed that on the show. In your defense, I know you're busy in there.
Well, I mean, you and I haven't discussed it.
No, you and I have not talked about it, but it's been discussed.
Well, okay. All right. I guess, yeah, I won't say you're lying to me because I know that you wouldn't, but I don't know. I guess we would. It seems like that'd be enough of a problem for the league that would come up in more conversations than the ones that we have on our show.
Yeah, well, you would think so. But as you know, we talk about a lot of stuff on this show that does not even get discussed in the national media. And
yeah, you're right.
Things like, yeah, you can pay whatever you want for coaches and staff, and that does not go against the salary cap. Look, I have ambivalent feelings about Sean Payton and the way he left the Saints. He's a great coach. I give him all the credit in the world. You know, I lived in Denver. I was a Broncos fan while I was there. I have just a lot of respect for Bo Nix as a young quarterback. And look, this is Bo Nix's second year. You know, Tyler Shuck could have an incredible year next year, which is why we're talking about how do you rate your excitement about the Saints on a scale of 1 to 10 going into next season with Shuck and with Kellen Moore. And my excitement is about an 8. I'm looking forward to it. And you know, if you've thought about buying tickets to games next year, I think you go ahead and buy the tickets.
I'll give you one more here before we step away. Text says, as far as optimism for next year, I'm at a 7. For this year's Super Bowl, I'm going with Sean Payton and the Broncos. I'm hoping that after winning a few there, he gets tired of the cold weather and comes back to New Orleans.
No.
Are you out of your mind,
no,
sir or madam?
Yeah.
Have you lost your marbles?
You know,
he's not coming back here.
There's, you know, look, he's going to go. His next step, if he's tired of the cold, and by the way, Denver does get cold, but it's not as bad as people think.
No, you know, it's not nearly as bad.
It's not. But I, you know, Sean Payton, you know, he might go to. There's some talk about Kyle Shanahan with the 49ers. Is he going to? Is he going to be the coach over time? Questions about him. Then I mean, what about the New York Jets? I mean, the New York Jets did not fire their coach. My God!
Wow.
I mean, if you don't get fired for the way you ran the Jets this season, then somebody's not doing their job in terms of paying attention to that. But you know, Sean Payton might want to go to New York or to Miami. He's going to want to go to an even bigger market, a bigger city, if he leaves Denver, and he might. All right, we got to get to a break here. If you have a comment, you want to join us this afternoon, the Oakenhart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Also, we have to continue to have this conversation about handheld cell phone use in the car in Louisiana. Now, the law went into effect in August of last year, but there was a grace period, and people were given warnings. Now they're going to be given tickets, but it's a secondary offense. In other words, you're not going to be pulled over just for using your handheld cell phone. You're going to get pulled over for doing something else, and you're going to also be ticketed if you've been talking on the phone with your handheld cell phone. But it seems to me that that should be a primary offense. I mean, if you're going to have a law, enforce the damn law and make it a primary offense, not a secondary offense. But a lot of people are just in the habit of using their cell phones. And there was some debate in the legislature when this came up about how the law discriminates against people who have older cars that don't have Bluetooth. And, you know, I'm thinking, wait a minute, you don't have a constitutional right to use the cell phone in your car. It's a privilege. It's not a right. And I think people get mixed up when they think about some things being rights and some things just being privileges. All right, you got a comment? Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text is 504-260-1870. Happy New Year. It's 2026. It has been revealed that Barry Manilow has a spot on his left lung. They believe it's lung cancer. He had surgery late last month. Barry Manilow is 82 years old. He had a concert arena tour scheduled, but his doctors have ordered him to recover from surgery during the month of January, and then he should be ready to go. He said it's pure luck and a great doctor that allowed an MRI to discover the cancerous spot on his left lung very early, so it can be removed. The early detection is very important, and they expect a recovery at this point, so that is good news. I'm Scoot on the air. Very happy New Year. This is our first time together in the new year of 2026, and I know it's the first day back to reality for many of you who have been traveling and spending time away from work and with your families during the Christmas holiday and during the New Year's celebration. I know there was another great celebration here. I had the opportunity at the last minute to go to Portland and be with my family New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And it was really great to be there, great to spend time with them. But, you know, as I have said, that's anything but an actual vacation. I mean, the kids are the kids get wild and they're you know, happy to see me. And, you know, they treat me like I'm 35, and you know, the jumping and all that stuff. It's fun, but you know, there's a limit to what I can handle sometimes. But you know, it's great that they think that I'm like, you know, 35 years old, and they can jump on Papair and do whatever they want to him. And I do manage to get through it. But when it's all over, I'm a little sore. All right, so we continue talking about the Saints closing out the season with a loss against the Falcons, but I'm not that bummed out about that, because that during that four-game win streak, I saw enough positive from Kellen Moore and Tyler Shuck to believe that the Saints are going to be much better next year. And take a look at the second year of Denver quarterback Bo Nix. He's amazing. And think about the progress that Tyler Shuck made in that four-game winning streak. Tyler Shuck is going to be a lot better. And then think about all the practice that's going to take place between now and next season. And I think Tyler Shuck is going to be ready for an unbelievable year. And as I said earlier, I don't think the Saints should have this attitude. Well, it's only year two, you know, of the rebuilding process. So, you know, let's not expect too much. I think it's okay to make the fans realistic in terms of what to expect. But I hope the inside attitude is we can get to the playoffs. We can do anything we want to do. Because I remember early in the current regime of the Houston Texans and with C.J. Stroud, I remember that, you know, very, very early on, they were very successful. So, you know, I think the Saints can have one hell of a year next year, and I'm looking forward to that. You know, let's cover some news and really get this out of the way. There's some political stuff going on. We're going to just, you know, mention it and talk about it and then move on. So it's time to take a look at Scoot's news briefs. Venezuelan President Maduro was in court earlier today. He's facing drug trafficking charges in the U.S.
Security was as tight as it has ever been outside the Manhattan Federal Courthouse, where captured Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife Cecilia Flores were arraigned on narco-terrorism charges Monday, both pleading not guilty. Protesters both for and against his capture squared off as police put up barricades to separate them in the park across the street. Some wore large Venezuelan flags draped across their shoulders. Others wore red Make America Great Again baseball caps. Signs read, "No war for Venezuelan oil" and "Free President Nicolas Maduro." Meanwhile, inside the courthouse, it was orderly. Still, there were twice as many journalists as usual and five overflow courtrooms so that those extra journalists and spectators could watch the government's case unfold on large screens. Julie Walker, New York.
Senator Mark Kelly is getting demoted by Secretary of War Pete Hegseth for reminding U.S. service members they don't have to follow rules from the president if they break the law. One thing that holds this country together is the Constitution. for a president to order service members to do things that are illegal suggest that the president might be trying to form a loyal military around him, which, again, is the work of a dictator. I'm not saying the president is a dictator, but that is what dictators do. They get the military on their side, regardless of what the rules of the country are. So Mark Kelly is being demoted for telling the service members that they don't have to follow a rule or an order that is against the law.
Pentagon Chief Pete Hegseth is censuring Arizona Senator Mark Kelly for a video appeal to U.S. troops.
I'm Senator Alyssa Slotkin.
Senator Mark Kelly.
Kelly was one of six Democrats in the video last month urging service members to uphold the Constitution.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
President Trump accused the Democrats of sedition, punishable by death. Kelly is a retired Navy captain. Hegseth says the letter of censure is a necessary step in a process that could demote Kelly, who said last month the Pentagon investigation of the video was aimed at sending a message to troops and government officials alike.
Do not speak out against this president or there will be consequences.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Yeah, but when the president tells the military to do something that is illegal, that's a whole different ballgame. And Senator Mark Kelly was a Navy captain. Kind of reminds me of the military service record of the president. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is not running for re-election.
Donald Trump and his allies in Washington and in St. Paul and online want to make our state a colder, meaner place. They want to poison our people against each other by attacking our neighbors. And ultimately, they want to take away much of what makes Minnesota the best place in the country to raise a family. I have every confidence that if I gave it my all, we would win the race. But as I reflect on this moment with my family and my team over the holidays, I came to the conclusion that I can't give a political campaign my all. Every minute that I spend defending my own political interest would be a minute I can't spend defending the people of Minnesota against the criminals who prey on our generosity and the cynics who want to prey on our differences. So I've decided to step out of this race, and I'll let others worry about the election while I focus on the work that's in front of me for the next year.
There are Republicans who are resigning or just not running for re-election because they don't like the climate of the political landscape. The latest politician to face a home invasion is Vice President J.D. Vance.
A once staunch ally of President Trump, the lightning rod congresswoman's public break with the...
Nope, hang on one second.
All right, hang on. We got the wrong one up there, but hey, that happens. We'll get this this right. So the latest politician to face home invasion is Vice President J.D. Vance, or if you watch South Park, Tattoo.
The U.S. Secret Service has detained a man in connection with broken windows at U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance's Ohio home. Secret Service agents say a man who broke the windows at Vice President Vance's Ohio home and caused other property damage has been detained. Two law enforcement officials say the man broke a window with a hammer and tried to enter the house. The home in Cincinnati's Walnut Hills neighborhood was unoccupied. Vance and his family were not in Ohio. The Secret Service is working with local police and the U.S. Attorney's Office on possible charges. Vance's office says his family is back in Washington. I'm Haya Punjwani.
Hey, boss. Hey, boss. I love you, boss. Hey, listen, how did the guy get that close to the vice president's, like, you know, property? I mean, how did somebody even get that close? That would be concerning to me. Today is Marjorie Taylor Greene's last day in Congress.
A once staunch ally of President Trump, the lightning rod congresswoman's public break with the White House stunned many people. But Greene says her principles stayed the same.
I have never valued power, titles, or attention in spite of all the wrong assumptions about me.
Several candidates have already stepped forward to run for the reliably Republican seat. Governor Kemp is expected to call a special election within 30 days of Greene's resignation so a successor can finish her term. Jonathan O'Brien for CBS News, Atlanta.
All right, CBS's Nicole Killian recently spoke with Marjorie Taylor Greene about her decision to end her career.
She told me that she has no regrets, and obviously she was a firebrand here in Congress and had her share of controversies and heated arguments with various members, but she says she doesn't regret any of that, even as she now seeks to turn the page on what she says are now toxic politics.
All right, that's it for a look at Scoot's News Briefs. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about this law that is now going to be enforced, banning handheld cell phone use while driving. Is this something that's a habit for you? Are you going to be able to break this habit? You know, we'll talk about that coming up. Hey, look, as you approach this new year of 2026, I hope your head is up, and I hope you're positive. You know, I remind you that as a country, we can be no better than the collective attitude of the individuals that make up this country. So each of us has a role to play, because our country can be no better than the individuals that make up the country. So let's have a positive attitude about 2026, and let's try to remember that we should be Americans first and political tribal members later. I'm Scoot. This is WWL. Are you going to be able to break that habit of using your handheld cell phone while driving? I was in the habit of that. I've got Bluetooth in my car now, so I don't worry about that anymore, but I was using my handheld cell phone all the time. It's a habit. A lot of people are in the habit of using it. You can no longer use it, and it's being announced now that police are going to start enforcing it in Louisiana. The law went into effect back in August, but there was a grace period, and people were given warnings. It's a secondary offense, so you're not going to be pulled over and ticketed for using your handheld cell phone. But if you are speeding or run a red light and you're using the cell phone, you'll get tickets for both. Frankly, I think if there's going to be a law against handheld cell phone use, make it a law and enforce it even as a primary offense. If police see somebody using a handheld cell phone, pull them over, give them a ticket. I mean, that's the only way to get people to stop doing something, is actually enforcing the laws. And this being a secondary offense, think about how many people who are going to use their handheld cell phones. They're not going to be speeding. They're not going to be running red lights. But they're still presenting a danger on the road because it's a distraction. And a lot of people don't consider this, but not only is it a physical distraction, but I think the biggest distraction comes from the mental aspect of it. If you're on the phone with somebody, you're involved in another setting. You're talking to them about another situation. You may be talking about where they are. You're not as engaged in the moment of driving when you're talking to somebody else about something else on the phone. And I think this is different than having a conversation with somebody in the car, because your presence is in the car. When you're on the phone, and you see this all the time with people driving really, really slowly, they're on their phone. I mean, they're over in the left lane, which is against the law now, too. They're in the left lane, and they're driving slowly, or they're sitting at the light changes, and they're on their phone. They're so wrapped up in the image of the conversation and what they're talking about that they're not paying attention to driving. And it seems like the mental aspect of this is even more distracting than the physical aspect of using a handheld cell phone. So, you know, I mean, it's a shame that we have to pass laws that tell us to do the right thing. And I admit, I was guilty. I knew it was dangerous, but I was guilty of using a handheld cell phone. And I realized that I still used it, but I have stopped now and I don't do it anymore. And as far as this conversation and debate about, well, it discriminates against people that have older cars that are not equipped with Bluetooth, using a cell phone in your car is not a constitutional right. It's a privilege. And if you have an older car and you can't do it, well, that's, you know, that's no excuse. You still can't do it. So the key is whether it's eating French fries after you go through the drive-thru at the fast food restaurant or using your handheld cell phone, do the best you can. And maybe this could be a good New Year's resolution to stop doing things that distract you when you're driving. All right, look, if you're on hold, hang on. We're going to get to more of your text messages coming up. And if you do want to join us, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. So here we are. It's the first day of the week. It's the first day back to reality for many of us after the Christmas and New Year's holiday. It is the beginning of 2026. It's an opportunity to start fresh, to start new. And so find some resolutions that are going to make this year better than last year. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, it was on this day in 2004 that Britney Spears officially ended her 3-day marriage to her childhood friend Jason Alexander. Jason Allen Alexander was her friend, and they got married. It lasted 3 days. They had it officially annulled on this day in 2004. And I remind you that heterosexuals like Britney Spears and me have really not done much to uphold the institution of marriage, so it was ridiculous to think that same-sex marriages were going to somehow disrespect the institution of marriage. Also, Britney Spears apparently had a wardrobe malfunction while dancing to a Christina Aguilera song in an Instagram post yesterday. Apparently, there was what's described as a nip slip, but it was covered with a flower emoji. Darn.